just whatever happens will have to happen. They'd lost rather hear you than me, brother. I can tell you that.
Rather hear you than me.
Well, I don't know about that, but I want to go back this to where I was at this morning. It's been the burden of my heart. Was quite burdened this morning. I want to go, before we get started, let's pray, because I'm going to jump around a little bit before I get to the message. If you would, pray with me and for me this evening. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you and I realize my inadequacy, my inabilities. And Father, I ask you if you would please preach me tonight to help your people. I ask you to open their hearts to receive. And Father, above all things, that you be glorified. If there's any hindrances in this service, I ask you to remove them. I ask you to steal any distractions, any movements that might distract and hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. I ask you to quieten any sounds that might take our minds away. And Father, I ask that you just be glorified and let this service have eternal benefits for your work and for your cause. Help me now. I need you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen and amen. All right. We started this morning talking of this thing of finishing right. Finishing right. I want to go back to Luke 14, just read a couple of verses. I'm not going to preach this morning's message again, but I do want to just kind of jog your memory where we was and what we preached on, and then share just a few little things with you that I think the Lord would have me to do tonight. In Luke chapter number 14, and we're going to end up going to Second Chronicles chapter number 17, so you might go ahead and get your place there and hold it, but we're going to end up there after we jump around just a little bit. In Luke chapter number 14, I want to start reading in verse 28 again. Jesus is talking about discipleship, and he comes down to verse 28, and he said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it?" There's our word, to finish it. And then he goes on and says, "Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish," there it is again, "and is not able to finish," I want you to look at the consequences of being unable to finish, "all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." Now in this passage, and I know we've went over all this morning, but let me just say it again. Here is a man with good intentions. He is as well intentioned as anybody else. He has intentions to do a work, and he has intentions to the point that he's considering starting the work. And of course, it's teaching the planning stage and counting the cost and the aspects to that. But it's talking about this fellow, if he doesn't finish, if he fails, and he does not finish, he's not able to finish, then, what are you saying, Brother Brent? We're not on. Okay. If he doesn't finish, then the results of that, what is the results of failing to finish? And it's mockery. It's mockery. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a mockery to the world. I don't want the world to look at me and mock me. And really, really, I'm an ambassador. And who they're really mocking would be our God. Failing to finish has some consequences to it. And one of them is mockery. And then we went over to Philippians chapter 3. And you don't have to turn. I'll just go over there and read it to you. We looked at a fella that did finish right. His name was the Apostle Paul. And he said in this race that he was running, as he come down toward the end, toward the mark is what he called, or the finish line, He said, the way I finished was like this. I pressed. Let me just read it to you. Here's the mindset he had. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. He said, I didn't have the attitude that I've arrived. I'm down at the end. This is, if you go with the Schofield dates or you have any confidence in them, it's AD 64, just 2 or 3 years before the apostle is going to leave this life. So he's at the end of his life, and here's what he says. I keep this attitude in mind that I'm going to put in these Tennessee words, I haven't arrived. I've not attained. I'm not either. We're already perfect, and that speaks of spiritual maturity. I've not gotten there yet. And he's at the end, one of the greatest men of God that you and I will ever read about. And he comes down the end of the life, and he's telling us how he's finishing. And he's finishing with the mindset, I don't rest on my past accomplishments. I don't go back in the past. Now, we need to go back in the past on some things. He says this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now in the context, he's talking about his accomplishments. Maybe he's talking about his failures as well. I don't know. He's not talking about the fact of the Damascus Road. We know many times he went back to the Damascus Road and shared that experience with folk. But here's what he's saying. I don't just rest on what I've done in the past. I've got a track record. If they can brag, I can brag more, he said in one passage. But here's what he said. I forget those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And I said this, and I want to say it again. In every Christian and believer's life, there are some things before you. You're not arrived. You're not at the end yet. If you were, you'd be caught up or you would leave this life. There's some things before you. And Paul said, I've forgotten those things behind. But what I'm focused on is the work that's before me. And then he said this, I press. Every one of you know that pressing is a all-out effort at the end of the race. And so he's saying this, as I finish right, I finish with everything I have. I put everything I have into it. And so we see a fellow who finished right. And you can draw many little truths. If you want to go to the Apostle Paul, look how he finished. You can draw many truths out of that. And we can look at it on the positive side. But the Lord has impressed on my heart in 2 Chronicles. He has impressed on my heart this fellow named Jehoshaphat, and how he finished. And this morning we talked about the father of Jehoshaphat, Asa. And Asa, he started right, but he didn't finish right. And we talked about some of the things in Asa's life that caused him not to finish right. And we don't want to go back and preach there. But after Asa, if you look, and before we get there, I guess what I would, if I can find it here, let me see if I can find it in my notes. I wanted to look at Ahab, some of the sins of Ahab. I'll tell you what, we'll just get to it when we come to it. Well, 1 Kings, let's go there. Here it is. 1 Kings chapter 16. I want you to look and let's get a little bit of information about Ahab before we get to the message. 1 Kings chapter number 16. Many of you know about Ahab, but let's read just a little bit. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 28. Say amen if you're there. Amen. All right, here we go. All right, verse 28 in chapter 16. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. It's a wicked man. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more. Verse 33, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And so we see that Ahab was a very wicked man. Look in chapter 18. And in verse number 17, if you were to read that passage, you would see that Ahab was after Elijah. And he would have killed Elijah had he had opportunity to do so. We can turn on over to chapter 19, and we can see, I believe it's chapter 19, and verses 1 and 2, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah done, how he'd slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And so we see he had a wicked life. He was going to kill Elijah. We can go on over to chapter 21, and we see the story of Ahab and Naboth's vineyard. And what I'm trying to show to you and paint to you before we get started, Ahab was a wicked man. You say, why, he was in the flesh, he was a brethren. He was the king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And I agree with that. There was some connection there. But Ahab was a wicked, very wicked man. Can I say it this way? He was the enemy of God. He hated God. He was against God. He was an idolater, if you want to get down to it. And so I want you to understand that, because we're going to see Jehoshaphat, we're going to see him and Ahab coming together. And so here's the situation. But I want us to look. We looked at his father, but I want to look at his first years for a little bit. I want us to look at how Jehoshaphat started. I want us to see, was Jehoshaphat a good man? Did he have God on him? Was God favoring him? In chapter 17, let's begin reading. And Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead, and strengthened himself against Israel, and he placed forces in all the fenced city of Judah, and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Verse 3 is where I wanted to get to. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David. Here's a king that's walking after his father David. I mean, he has went back to look at a man after God's own heart, and he's following in that path. And here's what I would say, that's a great man of God. That's a great king. Maybe I'll say it that way. That's a great king. I mean, he's starting right. You'll have to say, oh, Jehoshaphat's going the right way there. I want to jump down for the sake of time and look. Well, let me just read verse 4. He walked in the first ways of Father David, sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his fathers, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom of his hand. All Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honors in abundance, and his heart was lifted up. Now, most of the time, that's in a negative way when you see a lifted up heart, but not in this case. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. And it goes on. He sent Let me just read just a little more. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, to Obadiah, to Zechariah, to Nethaneel, and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites. And it goes through the name, verse 9. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. I mean, he wasn't satisfied just to be serving God himself. He wanted the land serving God. And he sent out teachers. And here's what I'm trying to get you to see. He started right. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judah. And notice what verse 11 says. I mean, even the Philistines are submitted to him. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams, 7,700 he-goats. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly. And he built in Judah castles and cities of store. And he had much business in the cities of Judah. And the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. Now, if I were to stop right there, here's what we would say. Jehoshaphat's a great man. I mean, he's after David. He's in the ways of David. He's headed right. And I think if you would have been following me, you'll have to say this. Jehoshaphat started right. He started right. And I'm so afraid so many folks start right, and somewhere along the way, it's what I said this morning, something changes. I don't know if the joy, if the first love is left. I don't know if, and my, I hate to say this because it sounds so such a worldly phrase, if the newness wears off. If I don't know what it is, but I'm afraid a lot of folks start out and they're all on fire for God. We've seen it in this church, have we not? Folks come in, they're on fire for God, and then where are they? They're just gone. They started right, but they couldn't finish. Why? What is that? And we talked about some of those reasons this morning with Asa. We talked about that, but we're going to look at Jehoshaphat tonight, and he's going to struggle some. Well, in chapter 18, verse number 1, we see the first failure, and I think it's a significant failure. Here's what it says. Now, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, but notice the next phrase, and joined affinity with Ahab. Now that word affinity carries this idea that you yoke up with somebody through marriage. Here's the idea behind it. If you want to have peace with another king, you want to try to keep everything going good, you either give him a wife or you marry your children off and you establish a relationship by marriage versus a blood relationship. And that's what he did. He joined or was identified with Ahab through a marriage relationship. That's what the idea, that word affinity means. And I would ask you today, did he need to do that? What caused him to do that? Was it, that's my fellow Israelite, and I want to try to bring us back together? I don't know. He's doing good. He has the blessings of God. Everything's going his way. It says there he had riches and honor in abundance. But then it says this, and joined affinity with Ahab. I want to ask you this. Did he need Ahab? Had Ahab brought him where he was? Did he have plans to do bigger and better? I don't know. But he yokes up with Ahab. And can I say, Ahab was an, let me say it again, he was an idolater. He was a wicked man. We're going to read in a little bit where it says he hated God. And here is a man that's following after David. He's teaching the ways of the Lord. And God's blessed him. Even his enemies are bringing him tribute. And all of a sudden, I don't know why. I can't figure it out. I don't know if anybody can. All of a sudden, he yokes up with an ungodly idolater. Ah, you say, well, nothing happened. You're right. Initially, nothing happened. It really looked like he, by the way, I've got the scripture down here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 11. And I know it's talking about the Canaanites, but the Lord said, don't you join up with any idolaters. Don't give your sons to the idolaters, and don't take their daughters for wives. They'll lead you astray. He knew better. That's what I'm trying to say. He knew better. And here's what I think he did. I think he had known truth that he disobeyed, and he thought he was getting by with it. He had known truth. He knew not to yoke up with an idolater. Moses already taught that principle in the Word of God. He surely knew something about the Word of God. He sent teachers all over the land. He was following in the ways of David. And yet he thought, I can do this and get by with it and everything will be all right. And really, isn't that where a lot of God's people are? Well, I know what it says. But I know it says, be not entangled in the fires of this life, but I'm getting by. I know it says to love my enemies. I know, and I'm just gonna speak generalities. I know it says I ought to have a godly tongue. I know it says I ought to deal with these little sins and it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. I know it says all that, but I'm doing pretty good. So that's where Jehoshaphat was at. I know it says I ought to be a separated people, but really I'm doing pretty good. I've got all this separation. I'd like to really take you to the some of these separate. Let's turn to just a couple of them. Romans chapter 16. If I'm not careful, I'll get ahead of myself. Romans chapter 16 and maybe miss God's message for you. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. What does it say next? And avoid them. And avoid them. How is it we can yoke up with anybody in the world and it's okay? In this county, we've got Baptist preachers yoking up with everything in the world and it's okay. As far as they're concerned. Here's what the Bible says. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. Here's what he's saying. Don't yoke up with them but teach a different doctrine than the truths of the Word of God. That's what he says. Now what do? Do you call? And here's what we say. Well, that's good men. Those are good men. I don't know what they are, but I know what the Word of God says. I know what it says, and that's what it says right there. And really, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know it. And those men of God that's yoking up everything in the world, they surely have that in their Bible. They surely understand it. I believe, Brady, you could understand that. You're 12 years old. How is it we yoke up with everything in the world? Let's look in Galatians. I want to show you something in Galatians, chapter number 1. Now here's the problem in the Galatian church. They were just work salvation. That's really what the problem was. They believed in work salvation. I mean, we all know folks that believe in work salvation. And here's what Paul said, verse 8. For though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Well, wait a minute. Now that don't match our philosophy today. Paul said if they're preaching something contrary to the grace of God, let them be accursed. And you all have all heard that means let them die and go to hell. Here's what Paul said. It'd be better for them die and go in hell than them to influence thousands that would die and go to hell. I think that it's not that he didn't care about their soul. He just didn't want the false teaching of the doctrine of salvation being spread. Because it's damning. And yet today, we see folks that yoke up with that crowd that preaches work salvation, and they're buddies, and we're all just good friends, and everything's okay. Paul said, let them be accursed. You say, preacher, what are you preaching on? You trying to tell somebody? No, I'm telling you, we're to be a separated people, and when you and I lose our separation, we're headed for trouble. That's right. And he goes on down as if to put emphasis on it. He says it twice in verse 9 as well. There's no need to say it twice, but once is enough unless you're trying to put an emphasis on it. And my, we could go to all the scriptures, 2 Corinthians 6, come ye out from among the world, be ye separate. We could go over to Titus chapter 3 and 10 about separating from disorderly brothers. And we could go through all those. But here's what I'm trying to say. Jehoshaphat living a separated life for whatever reason it was, Brother Steve, decided to yoke up with a God hater, with an idolater, and to be in affinity with him. And it looked like everything was going good. I mean, you don't read. You don't look, no, notice what it says. He joined affinity back in our text in 2 Chronicles. And then it says, and after certain years. In other words, they had this marriage and they had this connection. And for several years, everything just went good. I mean, nothing happened for several years. It was as if he violated the Word of God. And everything, and he's getting by. And I see it all over our country. People violating the Word of God, and they think they're getting by. You don't get by violating God's Word. That's disobedience. And a holy God deals with that. Now I want you to notice what else it says in verse 2. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab. Now I think that's significant. It doesn't say Ahab come up to him. It said he went down. The Ahabs in your life will always bring you down. You won't bring them up. That's right. I'm telling you right. They won't. They'll bring you down. You don't see if Ahab coming up to Jehoshaphat. Oh no, it's Jehoshaphat that's going down. My, you better get that in your mind. Here's the first step of an unequal yoke, of failing to separate. The first step is it will eventually bring you down spiritually. And still when you come down, everything's still, you know, you drop the bar a little bit. You drop the standards and that's still okay. There's still nothing happening. He come down to Ahab, everything's fine. I want you to notice what happened when he got down there. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him and persuaded him. Persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. He persuaded him. My, when I look at that, I heard a preacher preach one time. Here's what happened. He got down there. Ahab fixed him a big meal. I heard a message one time, trying to preach it myself once, that said this, here was a meal that was more than a meal. Here's what Jehoshaphat's thinking. Man, this Ahab's a pretty good fellow. I mean, here he is. He's invited me down. He's fixed me this big meal. Can I tell you, Ahab wasn't a good fellow. What's happening this this failure to separate is beginning to produce fruit. It's beginning, the fruit's beginning to hang on the vine or on the tree. And so he's down there, and Ahab's treating him good. And by the way, there are folks that will treat you good on the outside. But that doesn't mean they are good. Whoa, wait a minute, Preet. Well, let's look. Let's look in Proverbs. I believe it's Proverbs chapter 26. Chapter 23, I believe it is. And here's the situation that Jehoshaphat is in. And it's all started with separation. And he failed to separate 2 or 3 years ago. Several years, I believe it said. Was it several or certain? Certain years had passed. And it looks like everything's going by and he's let his guard down. Maybe when he joined Affinity at first, he might have had some suspect. Hey, we're yoking up, but he's going to take advantage of me. But now he's dropped his guard. Now look in verse 23 what it says. When thou settest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before you. When you sit down, somebody's treating you good, consider why. Consider why. Do you know there's been church members that's been fed a good meal by other church members so they could get them to side with them against the pastor? That's right. And they thought that's treating them good, just being good to them, that's good people. That's trying to persuade them. Sometimes people treat you good on the outside and they're wicked as the devil on the inside. And they have wicked intentions and wicked motives. And here's what he says in chapter 23 as this wise man's writing to his son. When thou settest to eat with a ruler, you consider diligently what is before thee. Is it a meal out of love and friendship? Is the strings attached? Is he going to try to get you obligated to him so you'll have to side with him? He said, you consider what's before you. And then he goes on, verse 2, and said, put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. If you let that goodness lead you down the wrong road, you need to cut your throat, is what he's saying. And then he said this in verse 3, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are, here's the word, deceitful meat. That meal was a deceitful meal. That king was setting a meal, but it was for deceitful purposes. And then it goes on down in verse 6, and it said, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. And there's a colon. It's not the end of the sentence. And it says this, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now what we like to think, as a man acts outwardly, that's how he is. That's not true. Here's what this father's teaching his son. You don't go by how man treats you outwardly. That doesn't define his character. That's not who he is. Here's what you do. Here's what he says. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's not if he treats you good outwardly. That doesn't make him a good man. It's what shape his heart's in. That determines who he is. Are y'all following me tonight? You see what I'm trying to say? And so here's the situation. If we go back to our text, Ahab, he's an evil man, but he's treating Jehoshaphat good. And if Jehoshaphat's not careful, he's going to be obligated to Ahab because he's his buddy. And he's a wicked, evil, idolatrous God hater down on the inside. And it all started. He's gotten himself in this situation because he yoked up wrongly from the beginning. A lot of God's people's there today. A lot of God's people. It's going to take him down. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
He started out good. I mean, he's walking the ways of David. God's blessing and prospering him in verse 4. And he's sending out teachers in verse 6 through 9, teaching them the truths of the Word of God. And my, he's growing in power in verses 10 through 19. But now he's joined up with Ahab. Everything seems right. A few years slip by. Ahab says, hey, come on down. Come on down and visit with me. I want to show you some hospitality. He comes down, cooks a big meal for him. But it was more than a meal. Notice again what it says in the last part of verse 2. And persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. Now if you study that out, that was a battle that Ahab's getting ready to fight. It really wasn't Jehoshaphat's battle. Ahab's a wicked man fighting another wicked man. Can I tell you, stay out of wicked battles. Stay out of wicked battles. If you have to battle, fight a good fight. That's what Paul did. He fought a good fight. I say to you, stay out of these wicked battles of the world and fight the good fight if you have to fight. Well, here he is. He's yoking up with an evil man to go fight an evil man. Well, here's what I'm trying to get you to see. I'm trying to get you to see the progress of an unequal yoke. He got by for a good while. He got by. You can join up with a God hater and an idolater, and you may not, it may be a while before it ever starts to bear fruit, but somewhere it will. Somewhere you'll go down. You'll come down to the Ahab of your life. And here's what he'll do most of the time. He'll be good to you. You'll like Ahab. When you meet your modern day Ahab, you'll like him. He'll be good to you. Better to you and a lot of good people be to you. But that doesn't make him a good man. Because it's not his actions to you that determine his character, but it's his heart. And he's doing this not for Jehoshaphat's sake, but for his sake. He's trying to influence Jehoshaphat in an evil matter. And my, we need to be aware of this. By the way, this relationship was developed intentionally. It's a man-made works relationship. The marriage, these affinities were orchestrated by kings and by men of power. It wasn't a birth thing. No. It wasn't a blood thing. No. It was an affinity, a man-made relationship for earthly benefits. That's what it was. And now God's good man, he's going to reap. Because God told us to live separated. God, even from the children of Israel home, God has taught his people to separated people. But he didn't separate. And he thought he was getting by. And now he's down, he has the meal, and he is being persuaded. He's being persuaded by Ahab, this ungodly idolater, this God hater. And here's what he says, and Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go down with me to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said, let me pray about it and see what God would have me to do. That's how I'd write the story. Were I writing this passage, that's how I'd write it. Because Jehoshaphat's a man that walked in the first ways of his father David. And Jehoshaphat was a man that one time he sought to the Lord God of his fathers, verse 4 says, and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. And Jehoshaphat's a man that sent out teachers, teach everybody how to live after God. And surely if a wicked idolatrous king is asking him to do something, he's surely going to pray to his God. See, we see his second mistake. First, he failed to practice separation. It was a separation issue. Now we have a supplication issue. He's not praying. He's not praying. Here he is, playing with the devil, if I can say it that way, he's not even prayed about it. And old Ahab says, hey, I want you to get on my side and go fight against the devil. Or go fight against the worldly king. Go to Ramoth Gilead and wage battle. And here's what he did without praying. He gave him an answer. I guess that meal was still with him. I don't know. Maybe he was so impressed with the generosity and the goodness of Ahab. I don't know what it was. But here's what he said. Here's what he said in the text. I am as thou art. And my people is thy people. And we will be with thee in the war. Here's what he said. Why, sure. Let me put it in these Tennessee words. Sure, I'll be proud to help you. I'll be proud to go with you to the battle. Yeah, that's no problem. Hey, my people's like your people. We're just like that. We'll go with you. Can I tell you, he hadn't prayed about it. He hadn't supplicated over it. No supplication there. I'm going to tell you, when you get a hold of them Ahabs, prayer won't be part of their plan. Here he is. I'm talking about a king that started out right, but he's going to fail. Now he's going to repent, but then he's going to fail again. The same sin, and he's going to die that way. That's the story. And so here he is. Here he is. And he said, why, sure, I'll go with you. We're buddies. And that's what he did. He went with him. Jehoshaphat, you know what he did? He did just what his daddy did earlier. He did very similar to what his daddy did. I want to say this to you, daddies. There's a good chance what you do is what your children do. That's so. Did you know Abraham lied and said Sarah was his sister? Do you know Isaac did that same thing with Rebecca? Do you know that? Did you know Jacob deceived his daddy? You know what the patriarchs did? They deceived their daddy. That's so. And did you know David committed sin, adulterous sin? Did you know what Solomon done? He did the same thing. Did you know David committed murder? Did you know Absalom followed in his footsteps and did the same thing? Here's what I'm saying, daddies. Y'all better be careful. You got little eyes watching you and they think you're the stuff. And can I tell Jehoshaphat, really, if you go back and study Asa, some of the same principles that Asa failed, spiritual principles that he failed in his life, Jehoshaphat did the same thing. Some of these things I'm saying, probably I said this morning, I suspect I did. My, think about that. Here's a fella's falling after his father David. He's obeying. God's blessed him. God's even causing the Philistines to bring him tribute money. I mean, he's got the world by the tail, if we could say it that way. God's blessing him. God's helping him. And all of a sudden, he yokes up with an ungodly idolater. I can't figure out why. I'd be putting Ahab to tribute if it was me. I think I would. Not Jehoshaphat. He violated that principle of godly separation. And he failed. He failed in the area of supplication. You better be praying, people. Here's the thing of it. If you don't pray, the battles, we're whipped. Hey, this spiritual battles of this church and the victories of this church, it'll be won in the prayer closet. If we don't have praying people, it's over. If you're not praying, I say it every little bit. If you're not praying, you're playing. I read a book by Leonard Ravenhill, Why Revival Tarries. He said a preacher won't pray 2 hours a day. They're not worth a dime a dozen. I didn't say it. That's what Leonard Ravenhill said. I don't know if that's so, but it sure did convict my heart when I read it. A preacher won't pray 2 hours a day. They're not worth the dime a dozen. There's probably not one out of a dozen that does. And my, we can explain it away and do whatever we want. And the brother preached on that that the other night about that thing of fellowship with the Lord. He quit praying. But here's the funny thing. What he quit doing, he wanted somebody else to do for him. I want you to notice what he says here. Here's what he says. By the way, can I just tell you that, can I just make this statement? Jehoshaphat was more submitted to Ahab than he was to the Lord. He was more submitted to an earthly king than he was to the heavenly king. I wonder who you're submitted to. You're submitted to somebody. Oh yeah, you do have a king in your life that reigns supreme. It may be King Self. It could be yourself. It could be, hey, number one. And number one is the king in my life. I don't know. It could be your job is the king of your life. It could be your family's the king of your life. It could be your entertainment, your pleasure, your sports is the king of your life. You've got a king in your life. But can I tell you, you're never going to live spiritually. You're never going to be spiritually satisfied, happy, contented, and blessed by God like He wants to bless you until you make Jesus the king of your life. And let Him reign. And let Him, you be, Him be the Lord, and you be the servant, the subject. He is the Lord. Can I just put that in regular terms? He's the boss, and we're the employees. Now that's worldly as the devil, and I don't like to say it that way, but really, He's the Lord. That means He's in charge. He calls the shots. He's the one that tells us what to do. We don't tell Him what to do. He's to be our king. Not a worldly king. You see, he had a submission problem. He had a submission problem. He had a separation problem. He had a supplication problem. It all started with separation. It's all now that they joined up. Ahab is influencing him. Ahab is working on it. It's subtle. He's done it over 2 or 3 years. But he's working on him, and he's working on him, and it's working. It's working. He likes it. He likes being catered to. He likes having a big meal prepared for him. He likes being buttered up. He likes feeling needed by Ahab. But he's wicked, and he's ungodly, and even though he's good to him, he's not a good man. Be careful. Be careful about judging people by outward works. There's a lot of wicked people that do good deeds for wrong reasons. And that's where he's at. And it all started with separation. Little innocent. We're just going to trade. We're going to trade out kids and let them get married. Or I'm going to take a wife from Ahab. Not a big deal. Happens all the time. Do it all the time. I mean, it's just the way society is in our day. I mean, kings trade out. They trade. They take wives and they marry the kids off. I mean, it's just the way it happens. Jehoshaphat, that's nothing wrong with that. That we do it all the time. But it was wrong because it violated the Word of God. Be careful about being dumped down. So he had a separation problem, he had a supplication problem, he had a submission problem. Let's go on and see what he says in verse 4. I'll close out here in just a minute. I've got a few more things to look at. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." Now he wasn't willing to pray. But he wanted somebody else to pray. That's a good sign you're headed for trouble. Haven't we all heard that? Hey, I want you to pray for my children. And you ought to be asking people to pray. You're foolish if you don't ask God's people to pray. But can I tell you, you ought to be praying as well. You ought to be praying as well. Here's Jehoshaphat. Here's Jehoshaphat. And he said, hey, I'm not going to pray, but would you ask the prophets to pray and see what the Lord has to say? Maybe he knew his relationship with the Lord wasn't right. And then you got your yes man, yes men, in verse number 5 and 6. Here's one. They said, yeah, go ahead. It's going to be good for you. It's going to work out. It'll work out just right. Oh, my. I'm glad Jehoshaphat still had a little spiritual discernment. He said, hey, is there not another man of God around? He still hadn't lost it all. He realized that's a bunch of fakes. He said, hey, is there not? And no way, he said, yeah, there's another man of God, but I hate him. He always prophesies against me. I hate him because he don't preach in my favor. Old Micaiah, he said, he's there. And they called Micaiah up. And I'm just going to, I'll cut short the story. Micaiah said, I just saw the sheep scattered on the hillside. You can read and see it for yourself in verse 16. They're scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. That's what he's saying. And you know, here's where I see the folly. We've looked at his father and his first years and his failure, but now it's almost past failure, and it's just like total folly. The man of God said, hey, you're going to get whipped in this battle. And you know what Jehoshaphat did? He just went right with him to the war. Why didn't he say, now Ahab, the man of God says we're going to lose this battle. It's crazy for us to go up there and lose all these men and get defeated. Let's back off. You know what he did? He just went with him. Knowing the man of God told him. You know, he had a problem with the Scriptures. Now he won't listen to the man of God. He won't listen to the message of God. Can I tell you, it all started with a separation issue. That's where it started at. Had he never yoked up with Ahab, he wouldn't have been where he's at today. He's got a Scripture problem. It's almost foolishness what he does. He just goes up with, and here's how blinded Ahab's got him. Ahab says, now look, I'm going to let you get all the glory. You dress up like the king, and I'm going to disguise myself. Now how? Can I just say how? And please, parents, I know some of you teach your kids not to say this, but this I can't say it no other way. How stupid can you get? Here's what he said. You put the king's clothes on, you be the target for the enemy, I'm going to disguise myself. And old Jehoshaphat said, yeah, that'd be fine. Whatever you want, that's what I'll do. I guess he told him, said, you get the glory for this victory. I don't know. I don't know how he talked to me. I mean, that's just craziness. And really, he lost his rationality at that point. He had a problem with sensible thinking at this point. He can't even think right. And I've seen some of God's people. Man, it's unbelievable some things I've seen them do. And it's like they're not even thinking. I mean, they're not thinking. They don't even have good, it's not even good common sense, let alone spiritual sense. Can I tell you? Make a long story short, he went up. And they got defeated. But he repented. He wasn't like Asa. He repented. And he had victory. But if I were to take you over, and I've got to stop, I want you to go over to chapter number 20 and verse number 35, and I'm going to close out. Jehoshaphat, if you will read between where we stopped and over to this place, God blessed him again. He repented. God accepted his repentance, blessed him again. And he served God for a while. But I want you to notice in verse 35 of chapter 20. And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. Who did very wickedly. There's an ungodly yoke again. There's a separation issue again. It's as if he could not learn. He could not learn. And then you look in verse number, chapter 21, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers. He joined up with Ahaziah, if I'm pronouncing that right. And God did not bless their yoke and the work they were trying to do together. And then the next thing we see, he dies. He dies. It doesn't say he repented again. Doesn't say he got right with God. He died having an unequal yoke and a defeated work because of the separation issue. And here's what I'm trying to say to you tonight. This thing of separation, it's real fuzzy right now. I mean, it's a real... the devil knows the importance of separation. And he's made the lines real, very fuzzy. I think that's just the best way I can say it to you. But here's what I'm telling you, and we probably need to study out the Scriptures on separation, just to nail it down. But God's people, you better live a separated life or you're headed down and you're headed for trouble and you're headed for defeat. I don't care if you have started right. When you fail to separate, and I know it's more than separating from, you've got to separate too. I understand all that, but that's not the burden of my heart this evening. The burden of my heart is many of God's people's yoked up with people and movements and things that they ought not be yoked up with. And it looks good. It looks like they're getting by. But can I tell you, in a few years, if they're not careful, they'll go down. They'll have a supplication problem and a submission problem and a scripture problem and all these same things that Jehoshaphat had, they'll have. And here's what I'm saying. We need to evaluate our lives. And we need to live separated lives, separated from the world unto the Lord. And I want to ask you, that's my message. Do you want to finish right? Is that important to you? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a mockery. I don't want to start and then people look at me and make light of me and make fun of me. I don't want to yoke up with somebody that, even though initially it seems innocent, but eventually it's going to take me slowly, step by step by step by step down, where I don't even think with any kind of spiritual discernment at all. I don't want that. I want to finish right for the glory of God. How about you this evening? Brother Allen, let's come to the piano. Get with a song to the piano. Get the pianist if you can. And if not, just sing. We'll just sing something without music if we need to. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this evening. Maybe the Lord spoke to you. Maybe the Lord spoke to you and dealt with you. Maybe you've really just not seen that much wrong with yoking up. I just look around and I see where we're headed. And the devil knows he has to get God's people to defy the principle of godly separation. That's the starting point. And from there, that yoke, evil communications corrupt good manners. We know that. And from there, it may be slow, may be gradual. I'm telling you, it'll affect you this evening. Brother Allen's going to sing, and would you be obedient? God spoke to your heart. I'm going to tell you why I preached, and I believe this is what God wanted for the hour tonight. Would you be obedient to the Spirit of God while He sings?